You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Newsombudsman.org/about. A news ombudsman receives and investigates complaints from readers or listeners about accuracy, fairness, balance, and good taste in news coverage, including sex podcasts. So we're going to bring on Savage Lovecast's ombudsman now to tackle a few listener complaints. Hello, I'm Dan Savage. I'm the Savage Lovecast's ombudsman. We can't afford an ombudsman, just like a lot of major newspapers can't afford an ombudsman anymore. It's going to be me. All right, first issue, pot. Kristen writes, let's dispense with promoting an agenda of American society being stoned all the time. Sorry, Dan, I followed you for many years and generally love what you do and say, but constantly promoting pot is telling everyone, including kids, to be high rather than dealing with life, sex, health, etc., in a strong and clear-headed way. This kicked off a debate on my Instagram account about how often I recommend pot. People urged me to recommend therapy or counseling instead, and there isn't a Savage Lovecast episode that goes by where I am not pushing someone to consider therapy or counseling. I also don't think therapy and counseling and pot are mutually exclusive approaches. I think pot can be good for a person. It's not for everybody. But boy, listening to the anti-pot people go off on my Instagram account this week, it's a little like listening to monogamists go off about non-monogamy. It's not that monogamy isn't for everyone, and so I understand that some people are not monogamous. It's that monogamy is wrong, and you're doing it wrong. And there are a lot of people saying pot is wrong, and if you're using pot, you're doing life wrong, or pot is using you. One person even said, urged, that I recommend that my listeners adopt mindfulness as opposed to pot, as if mindfulness and pot are mutually exclusive phenomena, that you can only do one or the other, but never both, and certainly never both at the same time. I reject that suggestion. I think you can be mindful at times and stoned at times, and I have personally experienced mindful stonedness. It is a thing that people can do. Of course, pot isn't for everyone, and everybody doesn't have to get high, and there are people out there with substance abuse problems, and while pot is not addictive, certainly it can be abused, and people can become emotionally dependent on it. Twinkies, Doritos, pot, alcohol, dick. All good things in moderation, including moderation. You do need to be immoderate from time to time. But as ombudsman, I got to say, if you feel Dan Savage is recommending pot too often, there are plenty of other podcasts out there, advice shows, where they never recommend pot. Perhaps you would enjoy one of them, not instead of the Savage Lovecast, but in addition to the Savage Lovecast for balance. All right, ombudsman issue number two. I was eating dinner in a restaurant, writing Savage Love, when the perfect example of the passive-aggressive, cowardly Seattleite approached me as I was putting a forkful of food into my mouth so that I could not speak, because my mother raised me right. You don't talk with a mouthful of food. And slid a note across the table in front of me and then literally ran away and exited the restaurant. And the note said, Dan, the clit is just not the glands. It is a giant and large organ. You give shitty advice. I wish you would stop. All right. We would go to the tape. We would go to all the times that I have discussed at length the structure of the clitoris, this giant organ with clitoral wings and roots, the erectile chambers of the clitoris that are buried deep within the body, that are embedded, that anchor the clitoris, the exposed glands. I have talked about this more than any other gay man on the planet has talked about this. I know where the clit is and how big the clit is. How many times have I talked about the reasons why some women can come from vaginal intercourse because their clit, the clitoral tissues, are being stimulated inside the clitoral shaft? Just like, I believe I talked about this just a couple of weeks ago. Some guys like to have their shafts stroked in order to come. Not so much attention to the head of the penis. Similarly, there are women out there who like the shafts of their clitorises to get all of the attention. They may need a Hitachi magic wand vibrator to send the sensations deep into the body where they can hit the clitoral shaft, blah, blah, blah. We have discussed this. I think if you're going to pass me a note in a restaurant about how much my advice sucks, you really should be listening to my advice a little bit so you can make an accurate assessment of its general suckiness and Seattle coward passing me a note in a restaurant and then bolting from the room, you are not a listener. Finally, shock collars on dogs. People have a problem with shock collars on dogs. I'm not a dog fan. Have two dogs in my house. Don't like them. Don't want to torture them. If you think shock collars don't belong on dogs, I am right there with you. My husband, who loves those dogs, he thinks a shock collar belongs on one of them every once in a while. Personally, my druthers, shock collars are for boyfriends, not for dogs. All right, coming up on today's show, on the micro free edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your cues, lots of my sucky, sucky advice, and on the Magnum subscription edition of the Savage Lovecast that you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com, twice as long and no ads, Dr. Stephen King, urologist, joins us to discuss what appears to be a male-bodied person, a penis-having person, with a bonus clit. It is a mystery. Dr. Stephen King is here to help us solve it on today's show. Me Undies makes feel-good underpants your butt will be proud to wear and you will be proud to be seen in. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own. And to check it out yourself, go to MeUndies.com/savage. The Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Casper, mattresses made by humans for humans. Get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/savage and using the promo code SAVAGE at checkout. ThredUp is the world's largest online thrift store with over 35,000 brands at up to 90% off retail price. It's the style secret over a million women use to refresh their closets. Get an extra 30% off your first order. Go to ThredUp.com/savage. That's ThredUp.com/savage for an extra 30% off today.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 40-year-old male calling from the East Coast city. So here's my predicament. I've been dating someone for the past year who's quite wonderful in every way. She's kind, she's generous, she's friendly. We have great sex. She's a wonderful partner in almost every way. So the first issue we had was that she's quite spiritual and I'm an ardent atheist. And I got past that. Basically, if you believe these crystals are healing you and if you believe the origins of the universe have some deity involved in it, I just don't care at this point, but then more recently she revealed herself to be a bit of a conspiracy theorist, and there's where I got a little more concerned. The two conspiracy theories that she was holding on to that really worried me: number one was the Pizzagate. She had some doubts about Pizzagate. She saw some things on YouTube that concerned her and made her feel like that might be a real pedophile ring in the pizza restaurant. That concerned me just because of, poor judgment and not being able to discern the evidence. But then another one that she espoused that really concerned me was that she has concerns about vaccines. And that one would, obviously affect us if we had a future together, because we both want children. And, that was very concerning. And she's pretty, she's pretty tied to these beliefs. And I don't know if I'm in the business of trying to, argue with her and try and disabuse her of these conspiracies. I just don't know if it's healthy and if it's even possible, because, she's quite a bright woman. And she may have these bizarre beliefs, but she's quite confident in her, her way of thinking. And I just want to emphasize what I said earlier, was that she's really fantastic in every other way. My friends love her, my family loves her. She's very nice. We haven't had, any real major problems in a year, aside from these conflicts in our beliefs. And like I said, the spirituality was the first thing that came up, and that was, we got over that, the fact that she was very spiritual and I'm very atheist. And there's some issue there, right, with her lack of need for real evidence. But when it came up with these conspiracy theories, they really concerned me. So I'd just like to get your advice on if this is possible to get past or not, and what you think I should do. Thanks.
I describe myself as an atheist most of the time, although sometimes I describe myself as an agnostitheist, kind of a atheist-agnostic hybrid. My problem with a lot of religious people is that they're pretending to know something that they ultimately can't know and can't prove. That's where the faith comes in. You can't know it. You can't prove it, but you believe it. You choose to believe it. You have faith. And you know, I can't prove that there is no higher power. I don't know how the universe came into being. I don't know how it ends. We don't know what else is out there on the outer edges or inside. I don't know. I can't prove absolutely positively that there is no God. They can't prove that there is. And I think that, I believe I'm paraphrasing Christopher Hitchens here, the person who's making the extraordinary claim has to offer the proof. When people say, prove there is no God, it's like, I'm not claiming that I have a magic friend with magic powers who does magic things on Earth. That's a remarkable claim, and it's on you to prove it. If I told you I had the Hope Diamond in my pocket, you would have a right to ask me to produce the diamond, to pull it out of my pocket and prove it. So I'm willing to give the spiritual shit a pass. This crystal and this savior and this woo-hoo-ery, partly because it may have a placebo effect for some people, make some people feel better. Even there are some studies that I don't necessarily put much stock in that show it can make people feel a little physically better, but emotionally it can make people feel a little safer and more secure in what is ultimately a terrifying and random universe that none of us are going to get out of alive. That said, conspiracy theories, things that can be disproved and are and have been disproved, things like believing that there is a child pedophile ring run out of the basement of a pizza joint in Washington, D.C. that has no basement. That's just fucking nuts. I'll date someone. I would date somebody who was a little spiritual. I'm not going to date somebody who's fucking nuts. And if this woman is ready, willing, and able to believe conspiracy theories about Hillary Clinton running a pedophile ring out of the basement of a pizza parlor that doesn't have a basement, eventually she'll get around to believing incredibly bizarre and untrue things about, say, you. So yeah, no. When someone tells you they're an anti-vaxxer, when someone tells you there's something to Pizzagate, 9/11 was an inside job, Sandy Hook was staged, and there are such things as crisis actors, and they've all been airlifted into Parkland, Florida, they are disqualifying themselves. Someone who puts stock in those kinds of conspiracy theorists, that's like someone who's into, and I'm sorry, and perhaps this is an unfair comparison, my apologies in advance to the scat community, but that's kind of like being into shit, right? If you are into shit, seriously into shit, you need to get out there in the world and find other people into shit and date them. And the internet was invented to bring you together, just like the internet was invented to bring conspiracy theorists together. She can find like-minded fuckwits out there with whom she can sit at home and fantasize about what the crystals are doing for her and the higher powers are doing for her, which, again, I wouldn't have a problem with personally. I could date somebody like that. But also then fantasize about all the non-existent children being non-existently raped by Hillary Clinton, who actually exists in the basement of that pizza parlor that doesn't exist because it has no basement. Yeah, no. Get out. Get out now. The crazy. It's coming from inside the girlfriend. Run.
Hi, Dan. I am a 25-year-old female, and I'm in a serious relationship with another man who is my age. Our relationship started off as very casual. We got into a lot of kinky BDSM stuff very early on, and I honestly thought it was just kind of going to be a fling, but it turned into something very serious, and I am actually living with him now. We're very serious, and something has come up, or something that we've been talking about for quite a few months now, has been bringing in a third person, particularly another male, which has he's into cuckolding, and he's had fantasies about it, and I have fantasies about it as well, but I'm kind of just getting cold feet about it because I'm afraid that if it actually happens, if he actually sees me fucking another man, then he's going to change his mind and get mad, and it won't turn out the way we'd hoped it would, and that it might be better off as a fantasy. And I guess my main reservation of why I'm so scared to seek it out is because we haven't told each other that we love each other, which I guess this is a matter of opinion, but I feel like we're kind of past that point where we should be telling each other that we love each other. And I just don't want to be the one to say it first, but we do live together. So I think that we're past that point, and I would just feel more comfortable doing something like that with him if he told me that he loved me. So I just wanted to know what you would think about the situation and if you think that it would be a safer situation for our relationship if we continued to do the cuckolding at a time when we knew we were in love.
First of all, you're right to be concerned. There are a lot of guys out there who fantasized about cuckolding scenarios, which is where their partner, usually the wife who's been importuned, often begged for years to do this. You're the rare girlfriend who's up for it and equally excited about it right out of the gate. But a wife who's been begged or girlfriend's been begged for years to do this, there are lots of cases where the couple goes and does it and the boyfriend or husband who's been fantasizing about this for a very long time has an intensely negative reaction in the moment to the reality of watching the wife or girlfriend get with another guy, which is why you don't start with you sucking off another man in front of him. You start with flirting with another man in front of him. You start with going out to a bar or a club and allowing other guys to approach you or buy you drinks and having a flirtatious conversation, maybe getting a couple of phone numbers while he hangs back and observes, and he can see how that feels. And then maybe you go out another night. This is called baby steps in the industry. Goes out another night and you dance with a guy or two. Go out another night, make out in the corner of a bar at a time when you can't go home and you're not going to go home with anybody, and you make that clear to the guy you're making out with, and let him watch that and see how he feels, not about you sucking some other guy's dick, but sucking some other guy's tongue. And you take these little tiny baby steps until you get to a place where you're both ready to step over that final threshold, to break through that last barrier. And you'll have a better sense and feel more secure about how he's going to react in the moment to the full realization of his fantasy if he's had these opportunities to see it kind of going down, not you going down, but a flirtation, a makeout session, some grinding on the dance floor, to see that going down. As for the haven't told you I love you yet, you live together. This has been going on for a long time. You don't want to say it first. Maybe he doesn't want to say it first. Jesus Christ, the two of you, take some ecstasy and get it over with. Say it to each other at the exact same time. And there's nothing about I love you, there's nothing about those magic three little words that are going to protect you from a potential negative reaction. A lot of those people who the first time they fantasized about cuckolding for a long time, first time they watched the wife get with another dude, had a meltdown, it was in the context of a relationship where they'd been saying I love you to each other for a very long time. I love you is not going to inoculate him against a potential meltdown. And a word of warning to anyone out there who's thinking about doing cuckolding, one thing I've observed over the years from hearing from lots of women who went and finally agreed to do this for their partner, is every once in a while, the dude has a kind of slut-shamey, shitty, violent, punitive reaction and blames the wife or the girlfriend or gets really angry because they did it wrong. They appear to like it too much. If that happens, if some dude is begging you to cuckold him, you've been with this guy for a while, married to this guy for a while, hopefully you don't have kids with this guy yet, and he has that kind of reaction, I think that's DTMFA shit right there. Fulfilling someone's fantasy and then they blow up at you and kink shame you or sex shame you or slut shame you for doing what they begged you to do for all those years, that is evidence of some deeper, more disturbing issue that will, if you stay with that person, continue to manifest in ways that are not going to be pleasant. So that's something, if I were in this situation and my boyfriend or husband and I was the wife was saying, cuckold me, cuckold me, cuckold me, this is something that I would put on the table at the outset. You have a I do what you want. I'm going to do what you want. We're going to do this. I'm going to help you realize this fantasy. You blow up at me. You have some irrational, insane meltdown about it. And it's the last time you're ever going to see me. You've heard me talk about MeUndies, and you know that Nancy and I both love their underpants. We're secretly, actually not so secretly, because I'm talking about it. We're both wearing their underpants right now. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit and cute design. And every month they have new and exciting prints, and they arrive at your door in a fun bag. Nancy and her teenage daughter have a little cat fight whenever the new MeUndies arrives over who gets to take possession. MeUndies uses Lensing Micromodal in their underwear. It's a sustainably sourced, naturally soft fiber that starts with beechwood trees and ends with the most amazing fabric you've ever experienced. The results are downright dreamy. Your butt will thank you. MeUndies adventurous prints and designs are all limited edition, and new patterns are released every few weeks on a rolling basis. We just got some MeUndies with a fancy banana pattern. And who doesn't like underpants with a fancy banana pattern? MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 20% off and free shipping. MeUndies is so sure you'll love their underwear. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you do not love your first pair, you get a full refund. This one is easy, folks. Get 20% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. To get 20% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/savage. That's MeUndies.com/savage.
Hey, Dan. I'm a 34-year-old straight guy, and I'm feeling a bit lost. I'm about to make a large geographic change, which I find exciting. I'm moving from Georgia to Colorado. And part of that excitement comes from the prospect of meeting and hopefully dating and having sex with new women. However, as excited as I am, I've been getting very conflicting, confusing, and honestly kind of disheartening information from women when discussing how to attract women and become more successful in the dating and fucking pool. I'm an attractive and athletic guy. I don't seem to have any issues getting dates, but I can't seem to get any farther than that. And the advice I am receiving from my female friends seems honestly a little bit outrageous. I work in a female-dominated profession, which has led to a large number of my friends being very smart and well-rounded women, in my opinion. But I'm being told, basically, that I'm too respectful, that I ask too much permission in the bedroom, that I need to be far more aggressive, and that I need to literally objectify women more. These are the conversations that I've been having with women. And these things don't really fit my personality. And especially considering the backdrop of the Me Too movement and that sexual assault and misconduct seem to overwhelmingly be committed by men that have these behavior traits, I have no idea what to do about it. I don't know how to take it.
A lot of the research into women's sexual fantasies, women's sexual and erotic response would seem to contradict a lot of the messages, like you said, that we're getting from the Me Too movement and Time's Up, that women want to be wanted. Women want men to sort of be overwhelmed by their desire for them and then to be a little out of control. But that's what women want to be performed or what women want to feel, but women don't want to be made to feel unsafe by that. They want the guy to be lustful, but they don't want the guy to be dangerous and out of control. They want the guy to be confident, but not aggressive or threatening. And I think some of the women, some of your friends, maybe you need to get additional female friends out there, not just the women in your industry that you're talking to, mislabeling confidence as aggression. You have to be confident about what you want. You have to be confident that this is person that you're approaching or dating or crawling into bed with after that successful first date is what you want, and you need to ask for it. You need to obtain their consent, confident in your own desire for this person, and with some swagger, self-assurance that doesn't tip into menace, that they desire you in the same way, and you're asking them to give you what they wish to give you. Now, we talk about women with rape fantasies. That's come up a lot over the years, and some people want to reframe that as ravishment fantasies because women with rape fantasies, quote-unquote, want to be taken by the men who take them. So it is not rape when you have sex with someone that you would like to have sex with, but sometimes these are presented in ways that the culture, rape culture, all of it creates desires that work with the shit that's out there floating around and the obstacles and the fears. Anyway, you know, I haven't watched you in action, but I suspect that in the moment when you think that you are being incredibly careful about obtaining consent and not seeming aggressive or intimidating, that you may be coming across as cringing and fearful, and that's not attractive. That kind of lack of confidence in your own desirability and your desire for this person, that is not attractive. People want people to want them who feel like they are wanted back. And if your style in that moment is to be so self-critical or so self-effacing or so demeaning of your own desirability, you can turn people off. I'd like to kiss you. I know no one would ever want to kiss me, and I know I'm not all that, but I'd really like to kiss you because you are. That's not attractive. When you ask someone if you can kiss them, it has to come from a place where you are presenting yourself as someone that they would want to kiss back or want to fuck back or want to fucking suck back when you go in and ask for consent. And what men have to be conscious of at all times is that women live in fear of male sexual violence. So you have to give people the out. You have to make sure you're asking at a time and a place where a woman feels empowered to say no, to get up and go if they feel the need to get up and go, while at the same time presenting yourself in a confident way as somebody that they might not want to get up and go from. So, sir, don't think of it as aggression. Think of it as confidence. Confidence in your desirability. Confident that if you ask, you're going to get a yes, while at the same time making it clear to that person that if the answer is no, it's no. Sometimes the best way to do that is to say that. I really want to kiss you. The answer is no, that's cool. That's fine. Please say it. I can hear it. But man, I really want to kiss you. There's a way, I'm sorry to do like role play there, scary Uncle Dan getting all sexy in your earbuds, but there is a way to ask for consent while giving someone the out without making you sound like someone that they wouldn't want to get with in the first place. Or you can be confident. You don't have to be a cringing mass of jello in the corner to make somebody else feel empowered and safe. You can be strong. You can be present. You can be desirable. You can regard yourself that way. Present yourself that way. While at the same time not making someone else feel unsafe or not empowered to leave if they want to leave or say no, not right now if that's what they want to say. Anyway, I think what you need to do is videotape your entire next date, everything that goes down after, and send it to me. And then I can offer you perhaps a more useful critique and better advice than I've been able to offer you with what you've given me so far. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Casper's mattresses are designed by humans for humans. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Casper's breathable design helps you sleep cool, which is how I like to sleep, and regulate your body temperature throughout the night. They are not just a mattress company, though. Casper offers a wide array of products to ensure an overall better sleep experience, and Casper's mattresses are made in the USA. Buying a Casper mattress is easy. You order online, it's delivered to your door in a compact box, and they offer free shipping and free returns to the US and Canada. Considering we spend one third of our lives on a mattress, it's so important to truly sleep on a mattress before committing. That's why Casper gives you 100 nights to try it out. Terry and I love our Casper mattress. We sleep on it and other stuff on it, and we liked it so much, we got another one for the guest room. Get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/savage and using promo code SAVAGE at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. That's $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/savage and using the promo code SAVAGE at checkout.
Hey, Dan, longtime listener, first-time caller here. I'm a 29-year-old bisexual female who is in the midst of a relationship with a daddy, and I identify as a baby girl. It's been going great. We met on FatLife, and we also consider ourselves to be in an open relationship. Lately, I've been struggling with some jealousy about my daddy playing with another couple. I don't really have a problem with him playing with others. I'm just starting to feel kind of left out. This couple also has FetLife profiles, and I noticed that they also play with females. So since I am on my daddy's profile pretty prominently, I know that they've seen me and probably know that I am open to play with them. They haven't contacted me. They haven't indicated any interest through talking with my daddy. So I'm just kind of feeling rejected and insecure and crummy about it. And I'm hoping you can share some perspective on the situation.
They're not into you. You need to have a conversation with your daddy about how you handle that. There are couples out there in open relationships, particularly a lot of same-sex couples, who have a hard and fast rule. They only play together because it will introduce conflict or tension to their relationship if one of them is running off to play with someone who, by not wanting to play with them together is communicating to the other boyfriend or the other husband that they don't find them attractive. And that the husband who is home alone, or the boyfriend who's home alone that night, will feel rejected, not just by these strangers or play partners, but in a sense by their partner. That their partner's not showing them loyalty. That their partner is willing to go and have sex with someone who tells them that they don't think that their primary partner is attractive or hot or sexy. And it can be experienced by the person left home alone as a betrayal. And that's not a conversation you need to have with this couple. Everybody on earth who's attracted to women is not obligated to be attracted to you. But you need to have a conversation with your daddy about what it means when he is willing to play with someone who isn't willing to play with you, even though you are, by dint of your gender alone, qualified to play with them. And if it makes you feel bad, your anger isn't with the people he's playing with. Your issue isn't with the people he's playing with. Your issue is with him. You need to have a conversation about, look, I don't feel good about this when you go play with someone and I am excluded from that play. So let's have an only play together rule. But also you should think about, like, what if they wanted to play with you and you weren't attracted to them? You're under no obligation to sleep with them just because your partner wants to, right? Well, they're under no obligation to sleep with you just because your partner is sleeping with them. Again, the issue is your partner and what your partner owes you and what loyalty means in your open relationship. A lot of people in closed relationships, they define loyalty as neither of us ever touches anyone ever with our genitals. That is the beginning and ending of loyalty in a lot of people's minds when it comes to committed relationships. But in an open relationship, loyalty takes many different forms, and you guys get to define it. Loyalty takes many different forms, and two people in an open relationship get to define what loyalty looks like in their relationship. And a lot of people in open relationships, a lot of couples in open relationships, define loyalty as we play together or we play not at all. A lot of folks love the treasure hunt of shopping at used clothing stores. Personally, me, I love the treasures, but I hate the hunt. However, with ThredUp, you can look for cool clothes without having to leave home or your office computer. ThredUp makes it easy to find the brands you love at unbeatable thrift store prices. ThredUp is the world's largest online thrift store with over 35,000 brands at up to 90% off retail price. Think Free People dresses for $10, J.Crew jeans for $12, and Kate Spade handbags for $30. Forget sifting through racks. ThredUp makes it super easy to shop by personalizing your experience. Use the filters to save your sizes, favorite brands, and price range to find exactly what you're looking for and to find it fast. Every item on the site goes through a 12-point quality inspection process, ensuring the items are in like-new condition. Many are even brand new with tags. Better yet, ThredUp offers free shipping on qualified orders and super easy returns. Show your wallet who's boss and don't wait another minute. Right now, ThredUp is offering Savage Lovecast listeners an extra 30% off your first order. Go to ThredUp.com/savage. That's ThredUp.com/savage for an extra 30% off today.
Hey, Dan. So I recently talked to my wife about opening up our relationship slightly and being a little monogamish. And she's pretty hesitant. She was freaked out at first, but I just really think that she would be into it if she just let herself be open to the idea. And it seems like her main concern is, what am I going to tell my family? To which I say, nothing. Why would you tell your parents about our sex life, right? So I don't know. I'm just wondering, like, do you think this is weird that she's so concerned about that? And how do I help her get past that? So, like, maybe we could explore together.
There are things a mother has a right not to know, as my mother used to say. And unless you two are polyamorous, unless you two are bringing an extra girlfriend or a couple of extra girlfriends home for Christmas, your family doesn't need to know. It would be nice if everybody who was in an open relationship felt comfortable sharing that information with their family. There'd be less stigma, just like the country. A lot of people got better about gay issues, gay rights, as they came to know the gay people that they knew. There will be less stigma and shame and discrimination against people in open relationships as more people who are in open relationships feel comfortable coming out to their families about them. But you are not obligated to come out to your family about how you two choose to conduct your private life. If you get a girlfriend, if you have a long-term committed relationship, become a throuple, if somebody moves in with you, you're going to kind of have to be out because you can't ask your third, your bonus girlfriend, to be closeted to preserve the appearance of monogamy for your family's comfort. But if you guys are just having adventures, occasionally having three-ways, there's no reason, there's no need to share that with mom, even if you have the kind of relationship with mom where you tell her, quote unquote, everything. I wonder, hearing you tell me about your girlfriend and her hesitance to open up the relationship because she doesn't know what to tell her parents, whether your girlfriend wants to open the relationship up at all. Putting that on the table, oh, I would be totally down. I'm totally open for an open relationship. But we really can't because what are we going to tell my mom? That could just be a dodge. That could be your girlfriend saying, I don't want this, but I can't take responsibility. I don't want to tell you that I don't want it because I don't want you to get mad at me. So I'm going to point to something outside of myself, outside of our relationship that prevents me from allowing this to happen. Have a conversation with your girlfriend about what's really going on. Does she have the kind of relationship where she tells mom everything? Well, maybe this is good practice because there are going to be things over the course of your adult life that you probably don't want to tell your mom about, and this can be the first. But if you drill down and the issue is that she doesn't really want this at all, and it was easier to blame mommy than risk incurring your wrath by telling you no, that's a whole other conversation you two need to have about the dynamics in your relationship, how you two communicate with each other, and the future of your sex life, if not the future of your relationship.
Hey, Dan. I'm a 33-year-old gay male. I have a best friend who has this guy that she's not really seeing. I'm not sure what their relationship is, but he's older and he's married, and he has bought her really expensive gifts, and now he bought her an apartment to live in. The thing is, he hasn't asked her for anything. He hasn't even tried to have sex with her. And it weirds me out because I don't know what this guy wants. If he isn't trying to have sex with her, isn't trying to date her, but buying her all this stuff, it sounds so weird to me. I just want to know, how should I look at this guy? Is this something that's going to be a bad thing, or what does this mean?
I can understand why it sounds weird to you. I don't understand what it has to do with you. None of your business. Literally, this should be in the dictionary, at least the Wikipedia entry about none of your business. Just play your call. There should be an MP3 link and your call is played. This is literally none of your business. You don't even mention that your friend is expressing to you any discomfort or qualms about this relationship. She's a sugar baby. There's an incredibly wealthy man out there who wants to lavish her with incredibly expensive gifts, including a goddamn apartment, for reasons that I assume he can articulate, but probably not going to articulate them to his sugar baby's gay best friend who's curious. I don't think it's financial domination. There's usually elements of humiliation with financial domination, and it's usually somebody who's distant, who's the financial dominant, who takes and doesn't give much in return. If she spends a lot of time with him and they hang out, even if they're not having sex, that could be all that he wants, to be out, to have the attention and focus of a pretty girl, to have her literally in his debt, so that there's this power imbalance. And so long as he's not leveraging anything out of her that she doesn't wish to share with him by using that power imbalance, by using that leverage, literally isn't a problem. It certainly isn't your problem. You know, we hear more and more about financial domination. It is a thing, and I think it is a kink that is being kicked up into people's erotic imaginations and into the culture by income inequality. We live in a world where there are people out there who are wealthy enough to acquire a boyfriend or a girlfriend who is with them just because they have enough money, extra money laying around that they can buy clothes and vacations and cars and apartments for people. I think there's a tax the rich story here in the whole emergence, not just of the findoms who take $25 a pop off someone on through their Tumblr findom profile, but findoms or sugar babies who are getting apartments and cars and clothes out of the deal. That tells me that there are some people out there with way too much fucking money. And maybe we need to do a little wealth redistribution. That isn't just through sugar baby, sugar daddy sites, but through the IRS and through the provision of a guaranteed basic income or guaranteed access to healthcare or something else, something along those lines. So anyway, I guess I just have income inequality on my mind, and I don't think anyone's linked the emergence of sugar baby, sugar daddy and FinDom as a burgeoning kink community fetish to income inequality. But am I crazy? Is it just me? I think there might be a link.
Hi, Dan. So 2 weeks ago, I ended up having a long day of drinking on a Sunday and went home with someone and had sex with someone that I had been brewing a huge crush on for a number of weeks. What has come to pass since that night is him making a few jokes about the drinks and saying thanks for having me, but ultimately putting off my invites to spend time together again until finally saying he's willing to hang out, but only if it is as friends. I feel disappointed and embarrassed and a little bit mortified that instead of pursuing a normal date or hang out with my crush, I went home with him on the first night that we hung out together. My question is this: what do I do? It seems like now, when I've tried to broach the fact that we should talk about what happened or maybe spend some time together, he's not super interested, and I feel like trying to backtrack and figure out where we went wrong or if we could start over again is not going to be successful. How do you undo what's already been done, and is there any hope for me to make this into a situation where I could actually see this person again sober and not as just a hookup?
If he's the kind of guy who would hold it against you, hold it against a woman, that she went home with him the first time they hung out, they were drunk, she went home with him, they had sex, so therefore she's no one he ever wants to see again. Oh my God, what a slut. How can he look at himself ever again? He did exactly the same thing you did. And yes, there are double standards out there, but you don't want to date a guy who puts stock in sexist double standards. Like, it's okay for a dude to do exactly what he did that night, but there's something unladylike, untoward about the fact that you did the same goddamn thing he did. So if that's what happened here, you don't want to see him again. You didn't make the mistake of going home with him on that first night. If that was a mistake, you both made that mistake. So if he's holding that against you, fuck him. So if it's that, you don't want to see him again. If it's not that, then there's some other reason that he doesn't want to see you again. I can't tell you what that reason is. Only he knows what that reason is. And he's unlikely to share it with you. It could be something that sharing it with you would just be cruel and could shred your self-esteem and leave you in much worse shape than he found you. And it could be nothing but chemically, you guys didn't click. Sexually, you didn't click. There was something about the way you liked to do it that wasn't the way he liked to do it. And it just was awkward and unpleasant, and he doesn't want to do it again and doesn't feel like you're right for him. And so he has pulled out the rest of the way out, all the way out now. And you can't force the issue. You liked him. You got with him. It didn't work out. Either it didn't work out because he's an asshole, or it didn't work out because you're not someone that he wants to be with going forward. Literally nothing you can do in either case. So, luckily for you, he's not the only guy on the planet. 4 billion other guys out there on the planet, many of them of legal age, many of them in your area. Go get day drunk with some of them. No, actually, don't get day drunk again. Go hang out with some of them.
Hey, Dan. I am a mid-30s gay male calling from the Midwest, and I just heard on 593 the guy calling about the Madonna whore complex, and I'm just wondering, you know, I wonder if that really also exists in the gay world. I don't know if we have another name for it. I just got out of a 6-year relationship about a year ago, and we were together and happy, and sex was fine at first. And then, you know, I just couldn't see him as a sexual being anymore. He was someone I wanted to like hug and cuddle, and like, I didn't really want to have sex with him anymore. And it just felt awkward, and it was like forced. And I was trying to see him as a sexual being, and I just couldn't. And so as I have been single now, I've really just struggled even wanting to try a relationship again, just because I'm scared that I'm going to get into another situation where it's going to start off great and the sex is going to be fine, and then I'm going to lose interest in it. And I guess in a perfect world, I'd love to have a relationship where I am intimate with somebody and we cuddle, make out, and we do stuff together like friends. But then I go fuck my brains out with somebody else, or in my case, many other people at random times. And he would be free to do the same thing. And we might play together. We might, play sometimes together without other people. But I just really struggle with that. I don't know if there's a name for it in the gay world, or what advice you have for someone going into a relationship with that mindset, because I know I'm not fucked up. I have friends. We all kind of feel the same way. And so I know I'm not like damaged goods, and I don't think I need to see a shrink or anything. Not that it would hurt to talk to about it, but I just curious as to what your thoughts are, and I'd love to hear from you.
There are lots of different ways to make a long-term committed relationship work. Sex doesn't always have to be a part of it. There are people in companionate relationships who never have sex with each other. They have as legitimate a marriage or a relationship as a couple whose relationship is defined by a strong and ongoing sexual connection. There are a lot of same-sex male couples out there where the two guys in that relationship or in that marriage have sex primarily, if not exclusively, with other people, and they get intimacy and support and love and cuddles and companionship and laying next to each other on the couch and holding hands and watching Berlin Babylon from each other. And they get their sexual needs met outside the relationship. That doesn't mean that either of these guys are damaged goods. This is what works for them. Just like a couple in a companionate, sexless relationship or marriage, they're not damaged just because they're not having sex with each other, even if they're not having sex with anybody else, not having sex with anyone. It's what works for them. If this is what you know works for you, that at the outset, the beginning of a relationship, there's going to be a sexual component, but over time, that is going to drain away, and what will be left is the intimacy and the connection and the stability and the companionship, I think you put that on the table, because you may end up dating a guy who feels the same way and has had the same experience, and you might be ideally suited for each other. So put that out there, and you're likelier to attract someone who is into what you bring to the table, because they're bringing the same shit to the table. The problem is that someone who feels like you and know thyself, it's just like somebody knows they're incapable of monogamy, making a monogamous commitment. Terrible idea. Knowing what you know of yourself, if you know yourself that you can't be monogamous, don't make a monogamous commitment. If you know that this is just the way your libido and your erotic imagination works, that in the context of a long-term committed relationship, sex is going to evaporate, but you're down for the long-term committed relationship regardless, don't mislead somebody who's capable and who wants a long-term committed relationship with an ongoing sexual connection that's active and vibrant. Because you will make that person miserable, and that person will make you miserable. There are lots of guys like you out there. Go find one. And I guess I'm dodging the question. Guys like you, guys who feel the way you do, is there something wrong with you that you can't integrate these things, the long-term committed relationship and sexual intimacy? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way you're wired. Maybe this isn't about moral failing, or God, not about moral failing at all. Maybe this isn't about some sort of damage or some sort of toxic masculinity gay version. Maybe this is some intrinsic hardwiring in the way your sex and your erotics work, where you're just driven for the new and the strange, and the old and the familiar doesn't compel you, doesn't arouse you, and you're a seed spreader. Hardwiring or damage, whichever it is, so long as you're healthy about it, so long as you are communicating well with your potential future partners about it, you're not misleading anyone, you're not lying to them about how you function, how you work, what's best for you, and how you work and how you function, what's best for you isn't damaging. The way you integrate it into your life, you're not compulsive, you're not out of control, you're not harming yourself, you're not, sex isn't a hammer that you're beating yourself with or beating your partners with. Hardwiring or damage, if you can fold it into your life in a healthy, constructive way, then not really damage anymore if it was damage. And if it was hardwiring, then it's just the way you work, just the way your dick goes.
This is in response to the dog person who's taking her dog to the dog park and her dog is humping every other dog or lots of other dogs. That is not a sex behavior. That is a dominance behavior. And that is why a lot of the people who know anything about dogs are getting upset, because your dog is asserting dominance over other dogs And other dogs who don't like it may start a fight over it because he's basically saying, I am being dominant over you. Get thee to a dog behaviorist. It can be trained out. Do not socialize your dog with a lot of other dogs while this is happening, because you will run into a dog or a dog owner who will really take offense at this, and it may start a fight, and you don't want that in a dog park.
This is a comment for episode 595. As far as dogs being in the same room when you're having sex, I agree with you. They're just dogs. Although one of my dogs is a rescue. And I tell you, if there is any spanking going on or loud noises, he has to be in the other room. It's a hard limit for him, for sure. Dogs do have feelings. We're not crazy.
Hey, I just have a comment for the woman with the dog and the dog park and people being sex negative about the dog. My comment is this. You're not a dog parent. A parent to a kid is a parent. That's parents. We own that word because having a dog, I've had dogs, plenty of dogs. I've had kids. I've got four kids. There's a big difference between having a kid and having a dog. It's like night and day. They don't compare at all. You can't board a kid. You can't leave a kid at a kennel because you're going to go away to ski for the weekend. And you don't go through what you go through emotionally or mentally when you have a dog. You go through that when you have a kid.
That woman did not just call the Dan Savage podcast to ask about sex negativity in regards to her dog. Call a vet or a dog trainer. This is a show for humans. And Dan doesn't even like dogs. Get out of here.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a comment or a question for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. If you like my political rants, my usually political rants, not this week, but usually a political rant at the top of the show, you will love me on Blabbermouth, the Strangers Weekly News and Politics podcast, hosted by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Eli Sanders. Me, Eli, and Rich Smith discuss and argue the news of the week every week on Blabbermouth. Another podcast you might want to check out, The I Anonymous Show, Portland-based comedians reading real-life people's real-life confessions in front of a live audience. Check it out. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. And speaking of Twitter, grumble, floof tweets, please consider this another vote in favor of having Nancy become your permanent Lovecast co-host. She is smart, she is funny, and she has one of the best radio voices I have ever heard. I agree. I get Nancy on the show as often as I can. I ask her every week to take a question or two with me, and she is great at it, and she is blushing across the table from me right now. I promise you, Nancy fans, I have her on as often as I can. Thank you for the tweet. We will try to have Nancy on even more often. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by that same Nancy, sexy radio voice, Hartunian, and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth, and Nancy, sexy radio voice, Hartunian. We'll be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.